The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, They Might Be Giants and Jonathan Colton live at the 930 Club. Flying Dog Brewery presents Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and the finals of Stump a Star Wars Nerd. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holm.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to episode 43 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And we're back after a little bit of a vacation. I hope you all enjoyed your Thanksgiving. Got loaded up on tryptophan and took out some nice pillows and slept off that itis.
Got that itis.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we slept for about a week and now we're back. We were literally just sleeping this entire time.
Yep.
Just woke
Didn't
up.
Go anywhere.
And best way to start the day after you wake up at 11 o'clock at night. This seriously is probably the latest we've ever started recording an episode.
Nope.
So let's move it along. All right. First update. I know you guys are going to be really excited to hear this. I got another email from Brad's Raw Foods. We really need to get an official sound effect for the Brad's Raw Foods news desk. I mean, because this is apparently regular business now.
Okay.
So I got an email from Brad's Raw Foods. It says, quotes, thanks living at Brad's Raw.
What?
That's right.
Thanks living.
Thanks living.
Wow. They're about a week late, aren't they?
Why? It's a time for giving thanks to life. A word from Brad. Dear friends, as the 24th of November approaches, everyone can find something to be thankful for. On this Thanksgiving, many of us may be looking forward to spending time with friends, blah, blah, blah.
Skipping over the
at Brad's
blah, blah,
Raw
blah,
Foods,
blah, 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 blah.
We are about living a healthy lifestyle centered on eating raw foods. Many of you have written to me that you are ready to make a change in your diet or want me to support you in the process of living a healthier lifestyle. I can tell you from experience that change starts with a decision to make change. Wow, where'd you get that?
Yes, Buddha? We can.
Followed by hope.
And with that comes responsibility. I feel I have a responsibility
like
to better
Dalai
myself.
Lama.
Each and every day, even if it means small steps like simple acts of kindness or acknowledging someone's efforts.
Just need the awkward pause after the punchline.
Several wonderful things have taken place in the past period. Most recently, Brian Adams, an amazing artist, tweeted about liking my beet chips before his birthday.
Wait, Brian Adams?
That's right, Brian Adams.
Right.
It's all for one and one for crunch. It's a chip you want. It's a chip you need.
I'm so glad we're recording that, Sean. Cause guess what?
Oh.
Guess what?
Yeah.
I was gonna read through the rest of this email, but you know what? I'm gonna skip right to the punch here. Let's not bury the lead here. Cause you're about
Adams.
Sean, you're about to win us $2,000 with that song. Cause guess what? Brad's Raw Contests. You're invited to participate in a rare and raw, emphasis on the raw, opportunity to create a jingle for Brad's Raw Foods.
Every time he uses raw in a sentence, it's just not, no.
He uses it about once every sentence.
What is it, an exclamation point? Is this his period?
Probably at least once each paragraph. Be the creator of our next official jingle. We are accepting proposals now. The winning jingle becomes an official jingle for Brad's Raw Foods. The award for the winning jingle, $2,000.
I got the jingle. I got the jingle, right?
Ready? Go.
Wake me up before you poop poo.
Nope, shut it down.
We are not a Wham cover band here, dude. Shut that shit out.
Don't stop. Give me the raw.
I liked that Brian Adams inspired.
Just eat those kelp chips till I crawl.
I liked that Brian Adams inspired song that you were singing before. Can you do that again?
When it's chips you give, I give the kelp in your eyes.
Okay. Sean, the easiest way to channel Brian Adams, think of Keith or Sutherland in that Disney Three Musketeers movie.
Musketeers are just a dream, boy. Just a dream.
Yes. Remember, Brian Adams did the song for that, remember?
Oh, also, If you don't want to submit a jingle yourself, do you know someone creative enough to produce a winning jingle? Recommend that person, and if they win, you'll be awarded $500. Cool. Deadline is March 4th or Brad's birthday.
Here's the problem. I know excellent song producers, but they all eat steak.
Now here's the question. Here's the real question for us guys. Gang.
Yeah.
Do we want to try and submit an actual jingle and try and win the contest? Because I could what would be a bigger insult to Brad's Raw Chips than if the winning jingle was from someone who sincerely hated
his
guts.
Product, yeah.
No, I think we should.
Do we just want to send him like a parody jingle that will be full of hatred and
I say we do both.
Does he know that you hate his product?
We're
trying to get that out there. We're trying to start a campaign.
Like we've made it vocal on occasion.
Yeah.
We've tweeted
it in conversation.
The last three episodes we've had like a tirade at the beginning of the show about this product.
Well, we didn't have one last week because there's no updates. But if there's news on the Brad's Raw front, then I'm gonna share it with you. And we're charging you, our listeners, to just do whatever you can to spread the word about how awful and stupid this product is, and that Brad has a really dumb haircut.
Steve Martin called. He wants his hair back. Desperate.
But seriously, Justin, interestingly enough, look what I found.
Holy shit.
What is that piece of bag? Show it.
How dare you bring this into... Oh, but I completely forgot.
Look at it. It's shameful. Shameful.
Oh, I completely forgot.
It's his fault.
What is it?
All
right, here.
By the way, sorry. I forgot to mention one thing. We are actually streaming this on Ustream right now.
What is it?
So if you're watching this on Ustream, you can see
Brad person.
Yeah.
How amazingly fly I look right now.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
In my
sweater vest. Rocking the sweater vest.
Oh, he is.
It is dead sexy. I'm going to
admit down
that.
Like a clown.
It's Argyle.
I'm bringing
Dorky
back.
The voice that I've heard all this time.
Yeah, I know, right?
No,
yeah.
I have this image forever. I'm just gonna think vest and just be like,
yeah,
yes.
Keep that in your mind.
Always,
I'm bringing Dorky
see
back.
See my vest.
But here's the thing:
it's the right kind of Dorky.
It's so good.
But here's the thing: see, Justin, we've said a lot of things about Brad's Raw Chips, but until we actually partake of the product, we really have no reason to keep bashing them without, you know, now. To be fair, we're all gonna eat one.
Wait, this is how committed we are to this fight.
Everyone's gonna eat.
I got another Brian Adams one.
Okay,
you know it's true. Everything I do, I chew it for you.
All right,
there's no chips like Brad's chips.
But seriously, here are a couple of things that have irritated me right off the bat. All right, one, you look at the packaging, and it's you know. Indie and everything like that, but here's the thing that annoys me, right? The first thing emblazoned on the front, is, besides Brad's Raw Chips, is the fact that emblazoned right next to it is, it says, in very bold print, world's healthiest chip, right? You can see that, right?
Yeah.
Can we see that?
Colin, who bought that?
It also says gluten-free.
I bought this.
Guys.
Oh, it gets funnier.
Guys, there is so much in this email I haven't even gotten to. I mean, this email is packed with bullshit.
How much bullshit are we talking about?
How about if we taste test while you read the email?
Yeah, taste test while
let's
we read.
Let's multitask.
All right, so here.
Right.
I'm going to pass it down to you, and then you'll pass it around.
While I share the rest of this email,
we're all going to suffer together.
Yeah, all of us.
All right. Well,
it's thin.
How bad could it possibly be? It's a chip.
Yeah.
You got any hummus?
No, I don't got no hummus.
Hummus? You got
no hummus?
You don't have any hummus?
Nope.
All right.
Need some
Zach's
homos.
Got a puzzled look on his face, like, what the hell?
The homos would break this chip.
I don't know.
All right, here's the thing, Zach.
How can you...
The fuck
all right.
They went on the Today Show, and the lady who was raving about these things said that she couldn't eat them by themselves. She had to dunk them in homos. I was like,
you know,
you mean hummus?
What color was
I might
her
be
hair?
Taking a Billy Crystal bit,
black.
But what you do is you grab some seaweed, throw some salt, maybe some pepper on it, and have a New York taxi cab driver sit on it for a few weeks, and then you get this.
Yeah,
you get this.
Hold up the chip to the webcam.
Yeah, yeah. Hold up the chip to the Ustream crowd
in all its glory.
It's bullshit. Look how thin this is.
All right, now wait.
Look.
So just get your chip ready, but I just want to share a couple things here.
Only Apple products should be this thin. Like, what the fuck?
All right.
Ben's taking a whole... Look, Ben's taking, like, more than one.
Are you trying to kill yourself? Just...
Yeah.
Just rein it in.
Took three?
Just rein it in.
Oh, he took, like, a whole wad.
It smells like hamster cage.
It does. It smells like hamster food.
Oh,
this is like fish food.
Are you actually going to eat one?
I already did. I paid my dues. All right, you're right.
You
gotta suffer with the rest of us.
We all gotta,
like... kind of like ketchup.
Give me the bag. Give me the bag.
Instead of eating all at once, how about we do it one at a time? That way we get individual reactions.
All right.
Is it really going to be this? I really wasn't hoping.
No, I really think we should do it all one at a time. We're going to do it one at a time.
Here, hand it back.
One at a time?
All right.
But first, let me just share the rest of this email so we can get it over with.
Okay, go ahead.
Share the rest of the email.
Couple items of interest. One, investment opportunity. Brad's Raw Foods is an innovative brand in a market sector that is rapidly growing nationwide. We've achieved exponential growth, which, goddammit, Firefox, which leads to once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to invest in a growing brand. An infusion of working capital will allow us to achieve the projected growth. We are now accepting investments starting at $50,000.
What?
Hey, gold member, I found your skin flaking.
If you are interested or would like more information, please contact Brad directly. He will arrange a phone meeting to discuss this unique opportunity.
Jesus Christ.
We should do this.
No.
More bullshit.
There's more bullshit here.
Lifestyle counseling program at Brad's Raw Foods. Brad's Raw Foods
Stop
is
Stop there. I don't even want to hear that. Because I'm betting it's going to be along the gist of, hey,
Colin,
can't figure out what's wrong with your
Colin,
life. Talk to Brad.
I have a really important question for you.
You had me at lifestyle counseling.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear it. Let's hear the question.
I have a really important question for you. Have you ever wondered how you would feel if you transitioned to a 50% raw diet?
No, I don't,
75%
actually.
Or even 100% raw?
No. You know why?
Just as Brad did, you'll notice an increase in energy, noticeable changes in your complexion, weight loss, and much more.
If I look anything of like what I eat,
Colin,
no.
Colin, sometimes all it takes is a little bit of coaching and motivation.
And diphtheria, apparently, because that's what you get when you eat nothing but raw food.
You'll learn to set and accomplish goals, explore new foods, understand and reduce cravings, feel better about yourself.
Visit the toilet more.
And get this, improve personal relationships.
With the toilet.
So let me get this straight.
With porcelain.
Let me
porcelain.
Let me just see if I'm getting this correct here.
Thank you.
Because of the fact that I enjoy steak and cheese and breads and other shitty foods, Brad is saying that's the reason I'm not getting pussy. That's his statement? The gist of the statement?
Yes, basically, in so many words.
Go fuck yourself. Seriously.
Brad doesn't
you
need
really
to.
You really popped the
Brad
audio there.
To. He doesn't need to fuck
he
himself.
He doesn't need
Colin.
To fuck himself. He's fucking the food.
Pussy. He's rolling in pussy. He's living the Brad's Raw lifestyle.
I bet he is.
I was about to say, the way you put emphasis on raw sounds like a 70s porn.
He's got
raw.
So much poon. He's got to fight him off with a stick.
I bet he does.
He does.
I bet he does.
All it takes. They probably crumble.
Okay,
like
so
sticks.
Anyway, seriously. So, Justin, all right, I'm done with that email. I don't even want to hear anymore.
That was it. The only other thing is employment opportunities.
Fuck, I no. All right, Sean.
Okay.
You've got the chip. Partake.
Are you ready for
Do
this?
It. We're all doing it.
Everyone at the same time.
All right, ready?
On the count of three. Right.
One, two, three.
Oh, my God.
I've tasted... Like,
holy hell.
What the fuck is that?
It's like eating bad Chex Mix. Oh, God.
It's so shameful.
It's that... Oh,
there's
my God.
There's a second...
It's,
there's a third after
no, okay, okay, it starts
yeah,
out...
Like a little burst.
There's like little... Yeah, but it's not a burst of anything good. It's like freeze-dried diarrhea.
Okay.
I found the pirate's booty.
It starts out actually not as bad as you would expect. Like, you're like... Okay,
yeah.
That's not terrible. It tastes vaguely of cheese, and then suddenly it hits you.
It tastes like Davy Jones' gym locker.
Not once when I was eating that did I taste cheese.
Yeah, I know. Okay, here's
the
thing.
Seaweed and death.
Was there seaweed in it?
Guys, remember when we watched that Today Show thing?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, remember when we watched that Today Show?
Give me a fry.
Give me. I need greasy.
Quickly.
All right.
I need something to get this out. Okay, seriously. Here's a couple
like
things.
A little spice to it.
Here's a couple of things I want to go over on the back of this bag, right?
Oh my God.
So here's the funny thing. All right, so it says cheddar ingredients, right? It says carrots, red bell peppers. What's up, dude? Carrots, red bell peppers, nutritional yeast. Oh, some more of that nutritional yeast. Flax seeds, sprouted buckwheat growth, scallions, extra virgin olive oil, garlic, cayenne pepper, Himalayan sea salt, and lots of love. You see, he's having sexual relations with food.
The taste does not leave your mouth.
No.
It just stays there.
And here's the thing.
It sets up
in none of these.
So the load is done, then the next batch of chips.
This flavor will occupy your mouth.
You done with those?
And much like Occupy Wall Street, it will leave its shit all over the place, wherever it wants.
Okay, but
you're officially my favorite person in the world for that comment.
But here, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. There are two things. There are three things wrong with this particular chip product. One,
the taste.
Yeah. Well, four things then.
The fact that it exists.
Thank you.
You're giving me. You're making me add more reasons. All right, here. Let me put it like this. Okay.
There's seven good reasons.
All right. Well, one. I mean, first of all, the product is. On the front of the product, it's emblazoned cheddar flavored, right?
Honestly, Colin, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we really need to move on with the show.
This is important, damn you.
No, it's not.
No one deserves this.
Actually, it is fair to warn the people that things like this exist.
Exactly. See, we're doing a fucking public service here, dude.
I've got the sensation like I've been raped and all I did was eat a chip.
Seriously, it's only been like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll cut it. All right.
It feels like it's been an eternity that this flavor has been into my mouth.
Here. I'll make it easy on you. I'll cut it down to one blur.
There's more fries in there.
Give me those fries.
Some bagglers.
Give him,
please.
Some bagglers.
Quickly, give him some bagglers. For the love of all that's holy.
Give me some stray fries.
While he's eating some bagglers, let me explain what's wrong with this product. One, it claims to be the world's healthiest chip. I was actually in the store when I bought these, and I actually compared these to other products. They're not much healthier. Like for instance, rolled gold pretzels. Right. Pretzels, you would assume, pretty unhealthy, right? All right. Brad's Raw Chips for about 28 grams worth of, material. It's about 120 calories, and about 50 of those calories are from fat, right?
Right.
Same amount of rolled gold pretzels, like the tiny twists, 110 calories, and 10 calories of that is from fat. Not only that, so I figured, the tiny pretzels, fine. Okay, so... why don't we go look for something more unhealthy? So, you know those giant cinnamon stick things they got?
Yeah.
Right? Covered in cinnamon and sugar. Same calorie count as this, and only 20 calories of that was from fat. So, and probably the biggest thing that's wrong with it, all those products, for a bag triple the size of the one I bought here, that was only $3.49. This was $8. $8 for this thing.
$8 for that?
Wait.
That's
$8?
3-ounce bag of Brad's Raw Chips, $8.
For that shit?
An 11-ounce bag of Roll Gold Pretzels, a decent snack product, $3.49. And it's more expensive. It doesn't taste good, as we've just proven. Yeah. And it gets picked to the... And it's not healthy. It gets picked to the post by a pretzel. Stop eating them, Brad.
Wake up, people.
No.
The end times are here, and its dark herald comes in the form of a man named Brad.
All right. All right. So now, we've done our Brad tirade.
All I can say is, I've never been happier to eat a Roy Rogers French fry.
I know, right?
That was...
A cold Roy Rogers French fry.
Cold, yeah.
That laying in the bottom of a bag. A bagler.
A bagler.
Never have I been more thankful to the fast food
A
God
Bilbo bagler.
A Bilbo bagler. Just tea, thank you. All right.
So all right.
Moving on.
Let's move on with the show. It's time for music. Okay, so this weekend, highlight of my weekend, because Thanksgiving itself, kind of lame, whatever, sitting around eating turkey. Okay, it's fine. But Saturday night, me, Colin, and Tim, we went down to DC to the 930 Club, and we saw a fantastic concert. They Might Be Giants. You know.
And if you don't, why don't you?
If you ever watched Tiny Toon Adventures.
Tiny Toon Adventures, Malcolm in the Middle. You've heard one of their songs.
Theme song to Malcolm in the Middle.
Wait. He did Tiny Toons?
Yeah, Tiny Toons episode where they
animated a couple of They Might Be Giants songs. Istanbul.
Not Constantinople.
And Particle Man. We're both, yeah.
Yeah, Plucky was dressed up in the yellow leotard with an atomic symbol on his belt.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, really?
Crap. Yeah, that's awesome. Shit brings you back.
I now know what I'm downloading.
Seriously, it was awesome. And also, of course, as we said, the theme song to Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. Was also them, yep.
And then opening for They Might Be Giants, Jonathan Colton, a internet nerd, celebrity.
Most people would probably remember him as the composer and writer of the Portal ending theme, which was Still Alive.
Really? Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
He was the dude who did that.
He wrote that song and he sang that song at this concert. He also, best part of his set, I think you know where I'm going with this. He had this portable, I don't even know what it was, but it was like a drum machine.
It's like a drum machine slash turntable slash keytar.
And basically he had loops, you know, he put the loops into the machine and then he could trigger them on or off with a touch of a button. And the song is Mr. Fancy Pants, but he just starts breaking it down, just starts playing random sound effects. Beyonce.
Beyonce was in the middle of it, you know, if you like to put a ring on it.
Mix.
It was, I mean, it sounds dumb, but it was hilarious.
It was amazing, too. Like, his drum solo, if you want to call it that, with just, like, tapping his finger.
Yeah, because it was, like, it had all the pads, so just a touch of it would, you know, it would do it. So he was like, it was
he's
awesome.
He's throwing in some scratches. It's all of us standing there watching it. We're like,
give me this.
Why are you eating those?
We're
why?
Do you cut, actually like
Ben?
Them?
Shut it down.
Shut. Don't eat them anymore, man.
Okay.
He's just been knocking them back.
Seriously.
I want you to live.
Just don't look at him. All right.
All right.
He's living in enough shame and
it's
pain.
It's too late for him.
Right now, it's too late for him. But seriously, we're all like, we need one of that. We need that device. We need one of those.
We need one badly.
I don't know what we're gonna do with it, but we need one.
We need one. Need.
All right, but seriously,
tax write off.
So Jonathan Colton, pretty sweet, but they might be Giants. I mean, like, amazing. Not one, not two,
three
encores. And maybe I'm jumping the gun there, but I really think that bears repeating. Yeah, they did three encores. And they had everything. This show had everything. It had puppets. Had puppets.
Puppets?
Had people versus apes.
What?
It had flashlights. You know, it had drum solos. It had Black Sabbath.
Yep.
This feels like that SNL thing, the Stefan. It's got everything. It's got everything. Yeah. Human bath mats. What's a human bath mat? You know, it's like that thing when a really hairy midget with a lot of back hair lays down on the floor and then you walk over him. I mean,
home sweet home, huh, great. Colin?
So they played.
Want some ice?
They played 15 of. Yeah, all right. They played 15 songs off of the album Lincoln. They played a song from one of their children's albums, because they put out children's albums.
There's a can of Arizona in my front seat.
Dear Science. Or sorry. Dear Science is a TV on the radio album. Here Comes Science, which was actually nominated for a Grammy.
Should have won, in my opinion.
Lost to Pete Seeger, apparently. But, you know.
Who listens to Pete Seeger anymore?
Bless his heart, Pete Seeger, whatever.
Yeah,
they should have won because I was like, "This is a chill." We were both like, "We're like this."
We
is a
literally were listening
album?
To this, and we were like, "This is a kids album."
It was like
it's a kids album. I want it.
It was like funky, like disco. It was like really dancey, but it was like it was about the sun. It was about plasma. You know, they were explaining the different types of matter, different states of matter.
That's crazy.
And you know they played a couple. They played. They saved their you know sort of more well known ones for the end. For the encores, of course, as any band would do. But the funny thing is that there was this chick down right by the bar, and the entire show, I mean, I think literally after every single song, she screamed, "Flood! Play something from Flood!" Like, yes, we know. Flood is their most well-known album. Of course, they're ignoring her, and she's just getting more and more irate about the fact that they're not playing anything from Flood.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was there because I wanted to hear something from Flood, but I didn't, like, broadcast it after every song. It was so irritating. It's like, she's just, like, screaming, "Flood!" I'm like, bitch, they will play something from Flood when they goddamn want to.
What yeah. And, of course...
That's the desiccant packet.
Yeah, and so...
There's a desiccant packet in the bag.
Yeah. I told you that.
We're not getting back on that subject.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Process that on your own, whatever you need to do. But back on this subject.
Yes.
They do an encore, right? They don't play anything from Flood.
Nope.
they come on the second encore, and they play Birdhouse in Your Soul, which is my favorite They Might Be Giants song, probably their most well-known song, and it was amazing. The entire crowd is screaming their heads off, singing along to the song.
1,200, and now imagine that, 1,200 people, because that's the maximum capacity, and it was a sold-out show.
Yes, completely
1,200 people are singing the song in unison, or as close as you could get.
Yeah, and that bitch was not there.
I'm sorry, 1,199, because she left after the first, encore.
Yeah, sweet, sweet irony.
It was delicious.
It was wonderful. So honestly, they played some song. They have got a new album, just come out. Join Us.
Yes.
And the stuff that I heard off of that was really good.
Fantastic.
Everything song they played was really awesome. Their drummer had some pretty sick drum solos. And in fact, he did this song, craziest thing. The last song they did for the final encore was not like a well-known song. It wasn't like Istanbul or anything off of Flood. It was a song about how the drummer is actually Whitney Houston wearing a mask. Not making this up. Can you guys, Tim?
Yes,
Colin,
really.
Can you confirm that?
He's not lying. It's true.
Whitney Houston wearing a mask.
Does that song have a name?
I think it was like,
what was the name of the drummer?
It was like Mark something. It was like, and the song is just called like Mark whatever mask. Like,
yeah.
And this lyrics say, seriously, I'm Whitney Houston wearing a Mark whatever his name is mask.
Like Hollywood and, Mark something mask. It was fucking hilarious. I mean, like, there have been shows that I've been to in the past that were entertaining. This by far blows all of them out of the water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me to rank it compared to a lot of other concerts I've seen, because They Might Be Giants are a very quirky band. Very different, but it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
I mean, where they split the crowd in two and had one side be people and the other side be apes.
Yeah, let's explain that. Okay, what happened was, in the show, in the middle of it, they have basically the band duel where one half of the band will play and then the other half of the band will play. Well, what they do is they split the room in half by taking a flashlight and say, all right, if you're in the middle of this flashlight, you need to move over to one side or the other. And so it's like, everybody on this side needs to go people, and so they all start doing it. And on our side, they were like, okay, now you guys need to go apes.
I figured you'd be on the ape side.
We were on the ape side. Well, so yeah, so the thing was, I figured what they were trying to do was they were trying to see which side was going to be louder.
Yeah,
and the people ended up being louder than the apes, but I'm not gonna lie to you, there were at least 3 or 4 times throughout the night where you kept hearing people go, herbs.
Yeah, I mean,
people didn't, like, the other people didn't say anything after they had won, but we wouldn't shut the hell up.
Yeah, apes didn't win, but we had a lot of spirit.
Apes go long, bitch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Apes have it where it counts. We have heart, spirit.
We got a heart and soul.
So, seriously, there are so many crazy, ridiculous moments during that concert.
Swearing
between
puppets.
With both, between They Might Be Giants and Jonathan Coulton, there's so many crazy moments, you can't even get into them all. The only criticism I think I would say, the only criticism I think I would level at They Might Be Giants was, honestly, the banter at times got a little
tedious.
They took too long between certain songs. Occasionally John Flansburgh would have something, would have some funny things to say, but like John Linnell clearly is not a guy who likes to talk in front of people. Like, he's very shy. So the two guys in They Might Be Giants are both named John. They're John Linnell and John Flansburgh. And John Flansburgh did most of the talking, and occasionally he'd have something humorous to say, but a lot of times the band would just, like, he talked about shit sauce for, like, he just kept coming back to the shit sauce. We're like, yeah, okay, it was not that funny the first time. You keep bringing it up. So that was the only complaint, is, you know, the banter was not that interesting, and it kind of slowed the show down.
Like, and to be honest, probably the one thing I thought was most interesting about this show is they had a fire in their equipment truck. Their cases had actually been set on fire. That. And actually, what was it? John Flansburgh's guitar was like partially burned.
Yeah. Like, it was blackened.
In most bands' cases, they probably end up canceling the show that night and just, you know. But no, they were on stage and they were like I think it was, what was it? It's not John Flansburgh. What was the other one?
John Linnell.
John Linnell, like, literally brings out this bass clarinet halfway through the show, and he's like, It's hickory flavored. No, they were making jokes about, I mean, that was some of the funnier bits about their talking, was because they kept cracking jokes about how their shit had just been set on fire.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun, a great concert, and good news to all of you out there. If you missed this show, which probably you did because it was sold out.
Yeah.
They're coming to Baltimore. Coming to Baltimore in a couple months.
Ram's Head.
They're going to be at Ram's Head in February. And we will be there.
Gosh darn it, we're going to be at that show too.
Oh yeah.
And hopefully it'll be just as much fun. And maybe since it's a smaller venue, you know, maybe we can try and rub elbows with them.
All right,
Apes will win. Apes will rise.
One thing you need to explain from that night is he said something along the lines that he said the McDonald's trip was interesting. I wanted to know what you thought.
Okay. We'll tell this story real briefly because we do got to keep the show moving. We left the show, it was like 12:30. We took the metro back. It's like 2 a.m., all right? And we are all starving. There's something about being at a rock concert.
Yes.
You're just singing along. You're jumping up and down. You're all excited.
You are thoroughly dehydrated and famished by the end of the night.
You are starving, and all you want is some really greasy fast food. Like, that's all we wanted, was just a sack of meat.
Yep.
And we're in Rockville, and we find a McDonald's in Rockville, and I'm gonna pass the story. I'm gonna let you tell the story because you do the voice better.
Okay, so we get to the McDonald's. It's about 2 a.m. in the morning. We're tired, and McDonald's has happened to be, and by virtue of the fast food gods, McDonald's has happened to be open, at least in Rockville. So we pull up, and we don't know what we want yet. So voice comes over the intercom, and who here has seen Family Guy?
That's a very obvious question.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody remember the, was it Consuela? Was that her name?
The one
Rosa. Spanish maid?
No, this is Superman.
Rosa. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Is it Consuela or Rosa? I don't remember.
Rosa.
Consuela.
It is Consuela?
I think it is Consuela.
In the Star Wars one.
Okay, so, all right. So, well, but that's how we know it. Okay, so, literally, not gonna lie, I thought Consuela had come on the intercom. Because, literally, this is what I hear when she first starts speaking to me.
Hello, would you like a strawberry and banana smoothie?
Yes. I was like, no, no, I'm good.
Strawberry banana smoothie for you.
Yeah, give me one moment. I just want to decide what I want. Then she comes back on and say, would you like a strawberry and banana smoothie? I'm like, no, thank you. Just one second, please. What? She kept asking me, do I want that product? I was like, no, I'm good. Let me decide what I want, please. So then I finally, you know, we get our order in. And I think I had ordered like a very small order of chicken nuggets. And then one of the things she said to me was like, you want sauce with that? I'm like, no, I'm good.
So no sauce.
No
sauce.
And the thing is,
no
sauce. Before we got up to the window, I was like, all right. I was like, guys, don't laugh. When we get up to the window, just keep your cool. Just keep it together. Don't laugh.
But here's the thing,
though. Who's the person who loses their shit?
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Yeah. Ooh. Justin,
me,
no, Tim and I were good, and Justin had made this whole big deal before we'd actually gotten to the window. He's like, look, seriously, keep your shit together. We get up to the window and we see this woman. She is slightly overweight, glasses. She's
don't know, you're making
swear to God, she is definitely of Hispanic descent.
Welcome back in. All right.
How much of that did we not get?
And start with glasses.
So she is slightly overweight. Glasses, black hair.
A living.
She's like a living caricature of this person.
Exactly what you would picture Consuelo to look
like. If she was in the real world.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing, though. Tim and I, we saw this girl, we saw this lady, and we were like, okay, fine. He, on the other hand, Justin.
Second she opens her mouth. I mean, loses second she opens her
shit.
Mouth. I'm
he
just like I gotta, I'm covering my mouth. I'm like laughing into my armpit.
Yeah, it's bad. Because we've gotten tightened up, but he keeps cracking up. And
you'll
so we're trying not to. But I'm just like,
and
oh,
I was like, and I almost
you
brought
want,
it down. Like I brought,
good,
I managed to
crispy.
Get a hold of myself. I managed to get a hold of myself. And then I hear, no sauce. And I'm, fuck.
You know, it would be even worse if I was there, because I would be asking all these asinine questions. Can I get a McRib,
Excuse me, we were literally talking about that as we're driving away.
I'm like, how about, I don't know, how about like a McGriddles or something?
No, no, breakfast needs no breakfast. No.
No, but here's the funny thing. As we're driving away, we're literally like, you know what? We should have just asked her like random shit so she just would have gone, no.
No, you totally should have asked her if she had any Windex.
No.
I don't have lemon pledge.
See, we're driving away and I'm like, you know what we should have done? I should have asked her if I could get a Whopper. That way she would have gone, no.
All right, so that was that.
So how is Arnold Schwarzenegger doing? Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So that was the culmination of our evening.
Oh. We just got it. There we go. Yeah.
Sorry. And the last horse finally crosses the finish line.
All right. You good?
Right. Tighten that shit up.
Get your shit together.
She's loose enough for
get
all.
Get your
of
shit
anyway,
right.
Keep going.
All right. That was a culmination of our evening. So it was a great evening, great time. The only other thing I want to do with my music segment today, of course, is to educate you fools and educate you suckers by giving you a...
Oh, wait, well, you got a sound effect for this, and it goes right here. Hipster, take it away!
All right, it's time for another reading from the Rock Snobs Dictionary. It's an essential lexicon of rockological knowledge by David Camp and Stephen Daly. Today, our entry... Flip into a random page.
I never heard pages sound so smug.
Sun Ra. Sun Ra is a Chicago-based jazz pianist and arranger. Real name, Herman Sonny Blount, who started out in the 50s as a Thelonious Monk acolyte. But reinvented himself in the 60s as a quasi-psychedelic space cadet band leader.
You're not making this easy.
Wearing homeless nut threads, evocative of both Captain Beefheart's and P-Funk's absurd finery, Sun Ra presided over an intergalactic orchestra that played noisy free jazz for two or three generations.
Is this a passage from L. Ron Hubbard? What's going on here?
Of swaying white druggy congregants at summer festivals. And here's how they end the entry. He died in 1993. So your entry for today.
See, here's the say that name again.
Please. Oh, you mean Sun Ra's real name?
Yeah.
Herman Sonny Blount. I don't know why that one's funny.
Ryan Cooter didn't even get much to laugh.
Yeah, I feel like you laughed harder at this one than you did at Ryan Cooter.
I don't know. It's Blount. Blount.
B-L-O-U-N-T. Blount.
It's funny sound.
Blount.
Blount.
Are you having a hard time sitting, Fred? I've got Blount.
Come on down the warehouse with Blount's blouses. We have 2-for-1 deal. Hey.
All right, you goobers.
Roy Cooter. All
right, that's it for
Stick
music.
Stick it Roy up there.
Seriously, Sean? Go eat a dick.
All right, so
it's time
for movies. Yeah, it's time for movies. All right, so tonight we went down to the Weinberg for another entry in Flying Dog series of movies. They're actually playing Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Classic movie.
Oh, great one.
We are the music makers. Yeah, yeah. You know, we are the music makers. We are the dreamers of dreams. Yeah, we are the dreamers of dreams.
I am the dreamer. You are the dreamer.
A little nonsense now than relish by the wisest.
You know, it's funny, like when you're a kid, that kind of movie just dazzles you just because you wish you could be in that sort of scenario. But now, like, I'm 25 and I'm looking at that movie, I'm like, the first 45 seconds of the movie, I'm like, all right, this is good. And then they go in the candy shop, oh god, that's a bad touch.
Besides the pedophilia, because we all have our minds trained on it thanks to that fucko in Penn State, but anyway,
not even gonna go
that movie, it still had its like its magic.
It's like
you just saw what's behind the curtain. That's what I thought was hilarious.
Here's the real magic.
Everything was
here's the real magic.
Gene Wilder, best shit ever.
Yes. No, here's what I want to know. How is that candy store opener staying in business when he's giving away all his stock for free?
Yeah, because in the opening scene, he's just showering kids
with candy.
Well, think about it. I think cocaine has a lot to do with the chocolate too. Because you think about it, the world in this particular dimension, the world's crazy about the chocolate.
And Charlie Bucket's just standing outside, staring through the window, like, go in there. He's giving it away for free. Or, like, do their parents have, like, an expense account with the candy store?
I don't know.
They just, like, pay into a monthly coffer and, like, unlimited candy. It's like text messaging. We pay for unlimited. Go in. Rot your teeth out.
I need my rollover Wonka bars.
Yeah, you got rollover candy.
Yeah, rollover is what you do in the bed.
Jesus. Kid, Jimmy, you're not eating all your candy. That's all right. It's going to roll over to next month. You're just going to have even more candy to eat. Mom, I'm tired of eating candy. Seriously.
Then you switch your phone over to Jenny Craig.
This is why this is diabetes.
This is why
not diabetes.
This is why we're going to Weight Watchers. This is why we're going to the Weight Watchers. We're switching over to Weight Watchers.
All right.
No, diabetes.
Anyway, once again, it's like last month with Big Trouble in Little China. It's one of those movies that, you know, you've seen 100 times and you know it verbatim. You could literally quote any line out of the movie, but sitting in a theater with like 200 other people, it's just a whole new experience.
Oh yeah. The one comment you made.
No joke. At the beginning of the film, when they start talking about the tickets and like his grandparents surprise is like, here's a Wonka bar. It's like, here, open it. Maybe the gold ticket's in there. He's like, okay, fine. He turns around and opens it and he's like, I got it. And they're like, well, let me see. And he's like, fooled you. I'm like, dick. Like literally in the middle of the silent moment, everyone's listening. I'm like, dick. And people around me start laughing. I'm like, what? He is.
Look, it's a dick.
What a little bitch.
A little dick.
Who does that? Anyway, but I mean, like, the movie is, I mean, obviously I can't describe it any better than it already is. Gene Wilder's performance is by far and away the best part of that movie. I don't think I've ever laughed as hard as the scary tunnel.
The everlasting gobstopper. Remember his eyes?
Slugworth's the machine on. They flip the machine on and it's like everything's smoking and whirring and going. And then they cut to that one shot where Gene Wilder's looking through the machinery and it's just like, he's like this dead eye vacant stare.
If you look at that movie, Willy Wonka is a freaking psychotic individual. His office, everything split in half. Like, it's to symbolize his fractured psyche. I really wish Heath Ledger were still alive so he could portray a Joker-style reinterpretation of Willy Wonka.
Would have been far better than anything Johnny Depp did.
You know, Slugworth comes in and
want to see the wind... I do not want to see the ferry scene. Tunnel scene.
I can see it.
No. No boat scene for me.
I can see it. Slugworth.
Heath Ledger's going to be in.
Slugworth comes in. He's like, you want to know how I got this scar?
There's no way we are going.
That scene still to this day. I mean, come on. It's a hilarious scene. We were all cracking up. There was a moment where it was right when Wilder loses his shit at the middle of the scary tunnel. I just wanted to like scream out in the middle of the ground. Just to see if anybody would do it too. I guarantee somebody would probably would have been like, ah! It would have been funny. I mean, obviously, great movie. And next month, I'm really excited about what they're putting up. Next month, they're putting up Caddyshack.
I'm all right.
Not only are they playing Caddyshack, they're playing it on my birthday. It's going to rock.
Oh, it's on your birthday?
It is on my birthday. So I'm going to go to the Weinberg. I'm going to drink Flying Dog beer, and then I'm going to get to go watch Caddyshack.
You're going
to
drink one Flying Dog beer for every year of life.
I'd probably be dead because I'm going to be 26.
I'm going to drink past 12.
We'll help you out.
Quickly, 26 beers.
We're here to help.
All right, well, don't forget to mention the sweet-ass poster you got, too.
I also, it was the end of the night, and... I really, 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 really wanted a poster because I missed out for Big Trouble in Little China. And whoever does these posters, we got to email the guy from Flying Dog because I kind of want to know who did these posters because they are awesome. But at the end of the night, I saw people had been walking around with them. And so I was wondering if I could get one. So I went up to one of the ladies who was running public relations. I was like, hey, are you guys selling these posters? And she was like, unfortunately, no. I'm like, oh. And she's like, do you want one? I'm like, if you've got a spare, yeah, sure. So she just unpins the one up from the lobby. I'm like, thank you.
That's a nice lady.
No, she was really nice about it. Yeah.
Person ever.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a great time. I mean, great staff at the Weinberg. Great
staff
at
the Weinberg.
Flying Dog.
A beautiful theater. I mean, honestly, if you're the Frederick area, if you're anywhere in the DC metro area, I mean, it's a bit of a hike, but honestly, it's probably one of the more entertaining things to do in the month. They usually play the movie like towards the end of the month, usually during the week. I think this next one will be December 28th, and it's going to be Caddyshack. I know they're running the series until June, if memory serves correctly.
Yeah.
And I do know that one of the future films is going to be Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
I can't
more
wait
Gene
for that.
Wilder.
Oh, awesome.
If memory serves correctly, I think they said they're ending the series with Jaws in June.
Yeah. And hey, you know, if you're a student,
if you're a student,
ID, it's only $5.
If you're a student, it's $5. If regular admission's only like $7, which is still pretty, I mean, if theater these days, that's like half the price of a ticket.
Yeah.
Because nowadays it's like what, $13, $14?
Yeah.
If it's 3D, you got to pay like $16.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's a great time.
It's a definite deal.
A great value. All right. Well, now on to the final part of our show, and it's the part you've all been waiting for,
supposedly.
And we got the sound effect to kick off the music, and it's right here.
All right, it's time to argue about who shot first. It's Stump a Star Wars Nerd.
Oh, thank you, Scott Fletcher.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for doing that. Now, I feel like a real asshole here because Zach has been sitting in this room the entire time and we never introduced him. Like, he's been talking, too. Like,
it's okay. I like being the random voice of people.
I
finally get to be the person. I've stared at screens and gone, who the fuck is that? Now I'm that guy.
Yeah, there's just this mystery voice that we never introduced.
There you go. That.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
It's Zach. Zach Patterson. That's
Zach Patterson, the current reigning Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, just barely after the last one.
He's actually here in person for this month's finals of Stump a Star Wars Nerd. And I hope you're all geared up and ready. We got some doozies tonight.
Oh,
we got some real doozies. So, I believe, did we start with the challenger or the reigning champion?
Starts with the challenger, then the champion.
All right.
So technically, since I was the inaugural, but I did lose, so technically I believe I take challenger status on this one.
Fair enough.
So yeah. I guess you can go ahead and start with me.
All right. All right. Start with a kind of easier one for you, Colin.
I could be saying a whole lot.
I'm not pulling any punches tonight because this is the finals.
All right.
If it turns out being like 2-1 or 1-0, you know, so be it. But at least we'll all have learned something.
It'll make for a great podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Question one. What kind of gas is mined above Bespin on Cloud City?
Oh, Tibana.
Correct.
Nice work.
I only remember that because I remember watching Empire Strikes Back the other. Was he mine? Tibana gas mine.
All right.
And I was like, what?
Question.
I actually remember that shit.
So that's 1 point. Question two. What was the last spoken line in Return of the Jedi, and who said it? The very last line of the movie.
The last spoken line of the movie?
Yes.
He's my brother, and that's Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia.
Correct.
Yeah,
he's my brother, but yeah, you got it. All right.
Well, that's because if memory serves correctly, then...
Yeah.
Wicket comes in and then it's all music at that point.
Yeah, no, you got it. You got it.
Okay, cool.
All right. Stepping it up a little bit.
All right.
Stepping it up a little bit. How many animals are shown on Tatooine in the New Hope Special Edition? Now, I'll just clarify this question for you a bit. a little bit. It's how many different types of animals? Distinct different types of animals?
Now, I'm assuming by special edition, you are shown on Tatooine. The 97 re-release, right?
Yeah.
Give me a second. I'm gonna say five.
You should at least do theme music.
Five?
I'm gonna say five.
That is correct.
Yes!
Yeah, you were killing it. Right
can, you now, name, can you name what the animals are?
No. I can't do it. I can name, like, maybe one or two.
I mean, you got the numbers. I'm gonna assume you know what the... Even if you don't know the names, can you describe them?
Well,
it sounds like you got it. I mean, five is the
correct
answer. You
got the Tusken Raider mounts, like Banthas, if memory serves correctly.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt you just pulled that number out of thin air, so I'm going to give
actually,
you
actually, I'm pretty sure I did, but you got Banthas, you got the little bat creatures that fly overhead, you got, what else is there?
So they are Bantha.
Minox. I guess not Minox.
No, because those are the little, I believe those are the flying creatures inside the space slug.
Yeah.
So the answer here is Bantha, Dewback, Great Dragon.
Yeah. That's the one from well, and isn't that one in Mos Eisley? The big thing that
yeah. That's a Ronto.
Ronto. Yep. And the little rodents outside of Mos Eisley.
Right, the Womp Rats, I guess.
So, all right, good job. All right.
That one I did actually guess. So.
Nice.
So that was a lucky guess on my part.
All right, next
my
question.
My experience is no such thing as luck.
Next question. So that's was that two, three. All right, you're on a roll.
That's three done.
All right,
I got two more left.
How many X and Y wing fighters did the rebels use in the attack on the first Death Star?
Ooh, wow. How many X and Y wings? 50.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
The answer is 30. An Imperial officer approaches Darth Vader shortly after the attack begins and tells him,
30
we
rebel
count
ships.
30 rebel ships, Lord Vader, but they're so small
they're
evading
our
turbo
lasers.
Lasers.
Yeah.
I'm such an idiot. I was trying to hand count them with radio drinkers.
Well, and see, that's the thing. That's I remember that patch of dialogue, but I could not for the life of me remember the number. So I said 50 because I was like, it's something with a TY on the end. I don't remember. It's like, I don't remember. It was like 25 or I was like, it's either 30, 40 or 50. I was like 50.
All right.
I like how you go through your answers. It's nice.
Yeah. It's thinking a great process. Commentary on your own.
All right.
I should mock. I'm going to be just as bad.
Oh, please. This is exactly what you said the last time we went through this and what happened. It went to lightning round.
I know, I'm all terrified right. now. And
check out Colin's latest novel, Gungans Hurt My Childhood.
They did.
It all right.
Misa Angry by Colin Kack.
All right, last...
nice.
All right. All right, last question.
All right, last question. All right, here we go.
Last question. All right. What in Empire Strikes Back, how many TIE fighters pursue the Millennium Falcon after it makes its escape?
How many?
Yes. What is the number of TIE fighters that pursue the Falcon after it makes its escape?
Okay.
Sad.
God, see, the thing is, I'm going to say five.
That is incorrect.
Sorry.
You know the answer?
Four.
That is actually also incorrect. The answer is three.
That's okay.
Yeah. All right, so you got three questions right. That was from the harder quiz. So I wanted
really?
To give one harder,
wait,
harder
three?
Question at the end. Yeah,
oh,
that's
no,
the
no.
answer.
Two blow up on the asteroid field, and then two blow up on the big one when he does that maneuver.
Yeah.
What is four?
No, it's got to be more than that, because, like, what was it? One got blown up right away because the asteroid hit it. Then another one got
dinked by an asteroid.
And then went wah,
yeah,
wah,
the
wah.
Spin made you laugh.
Right.
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then two crash into each other when they dive into the big one. right? The two, they fly in and the two hit each other and bounce off each other.
I'm almost positive. It's either
Were
four.
You gonna say four?
I think it's either four or five.
All right, the answer here is three, but if we're challenging the question...
And see, I'm not the only one challenging
it. If both contestants are agreeing with the question, I'll give you a different question.
I agree. Give him another question. I'm convinced it's four.
Yeah, give him another question.
All right, well, short of pulling out the movie, we can't really, so I'm going to go ahead and give you a different one.
All right. Checking that when I get home, I'll pick
Yeah, I know, right? Because now I'm actually like, right. Wait.
Zach versus the Wib. No winner.
All right.
All right.
What was the name of the Super Star Destroyer?
Oh, that's Avenger. No, Avenger. Nope. It's Well, I already said Avenger, so you might as well just not give it to me.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah, I want to say executor.
He's trying to
say, executor.
It is executor, yeah. But you did say Avenger.
No, it's fine. That's fine. Like I said, I know the. It's like I knew the answer. I was like Avenger, so might as well. Just...
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I mean, you did know the. Well, I don't know. You had the which Star Destroyer confused. So I don't know if I'm going to give it to you. So, all right. So you got three right. All right. Zach, over to you.
Oh boy.
Are you ready?
As ready as I can be.
All right. First question. How many times did Han Solo fire his blaster at Darth Vader before he took it from Han?
I want to say four.
That is correct.
I almost said three. I was like, shit.
All right.
I'll be honest. That was a guess.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thanks.
Next question. What was the first clear display of the Force shown in the trilogy, and where was it shown? The first time that we see the Force used in the trilogy.
Damn. Poor in here because it's either Obi-Wan Darth Vader choking the guy in the meeting room on the Death Star. I'm trying to run the process.
Read that question again.
What was the first clear display of the Force shown in the trilogy, and where was it shown?
Oh, okay.
It's not the beginning, because he doesn't actually Force choke the guy at the beginning. He literally holds him up, chokes him out. So...
Well, technically...
Don't mock me! That made it worse.
Don't mock me.
Don't mock me. I will quit. I'll go back to my blogs. Okay, sorry, I'm thinking while I'm joking. I apologize.
Blah, blah, blog.
I'm going to go with Darth Vader choking the guy on the Death Star.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
It is actually Obi-Wan Kenobi using the Force to make his voice sound like a crate dragon to scare off the Tusken Raiders.
Really?
That is him using the Force.
Son of
he scares them off by making his voice sound like a crate dragon.
If it makes you feel any better, I didn't have any clue that was it either.
I didn't either.
Same here.
I guess that makes sense.
Which doesn't
it's a really it's
doesn't
a really
change
easy
the,
one to miss too.
Doesn't George change it in the new one?
Oh yeah, now it sounds like a broken beatboxer. He's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's so crazy.
And then it goes back to like a roar.
Now it sounds like David Guetta.
All right, next question.
All
right, next question. How many of the Star Wars movies did Tauntauns appear in?
This is only old trilogy, right? Not all six?
Yeah, just the original trilogy. How many Star Wars movies did Tauntauns appear in?
Okay, this is a trick question.
This one's a little tricky. Honestly, it is. I know the Force is strong.
Tricky. I'm afraid to say one because it said it's tricky.
I'm not saying anything. Use your instincts.
I'm gonna say one.
You're gonna say one?
Yep.
Sorry, it's two.
Which one?
So there were Tauntauns in Empire Strikes Back on Hoth, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But in Return of the Jedi, there's the head of a Tauntaun displayed in Jabba's throne room. on the left side of Han Solo frozen in carbonite.
Fuck. I literally, I did not know that.
Wow.
I'm gonna go back and watch that.
Now I'm gonna go back and look for it.
That was a hard question. Jesus. That was a hard question.
Yeah.
Wow, that was awesome. I love that question.
But I did think that was a really neat fact, so
it is
I
did really
like that question.
Noodle All right. Earth.
Who is the first character in the trilogy to say, "May the Force be with you"?
Actually, "May the Force be with you," not some PG.
Yeah. "May the Force be with you." Who's the first character in the trilogy to say that? Nope. It's General Dodonna.
Yeah, remember
after,
in the throw in
the briefing
room.
Send them
oh,
off.
The briefing
yeah.
room.
All right, so how many questions did I ask you? That was
four.
Four.
Yeah.
And he's only gotten one.
Yeah, he's already got me.
So he's already got you, but I'll give you one last question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I might as well give you a fun one since you've already
yeah.
you've already lost, unfortunately. I don't even know where they.
Lightning round.
Oh, somebody's disappointed. This isn't college football.
All right, here's a fun one. Here's a fun one. I don't know how anyone would possibly know this answer, but since you've already lost, I'm going to give you this question. What character from A New Hope was originally going to be a huge green-skinned guy with no nose and large gills?
What?
This is from TheForce.net.
I almost want to answer this one.
If anyone has an answer to this one, go ahead and answer it. I don't even know how anyone.
Jabba.
Would know
I'm gonna
nope.
say, I'm gonna say Chewbacca.
So far, no one has said it.
Yeah. James,
C-3PO. C-3PO.
Do y'all give up?
C-3PO.
Let me give it a try.
What character was originally going to be a huge green-skinned guy with no nose and large gills?
Jackal. Jackal? Jackal?
Boba Fett.
Jackal.
It wasn't
Jackal.
A Jackal the first time
Jackal.
You said it.
Boba Fett.
Nope, you give up?
Sure.
Han Solo.
What?
What?
I don't know where their source is, but that is the answer they get. I really
well, Zach
know...
said his next door neighbor.
I really want to know where
buddy.
They got this from.
His buddy. Next door neighbor.
Well, that's the answer
they
gave
me.
They grew
up the same street.
Chewbacca, you got any eggs?
So...
I'm missing Han Solo Chronicle.
All right. Colin, you are... the victorious nerd.
Yeah.
Almost feels a little unfair to give you a shirt when you are part of this podcast. But...
So actually, what I'll do is Zach, we'll go ahead. We'll go. I'll just get two, and you and
oh,
I can
I
both
have
one.
Yeah.
You can still have it.
I gave you some tough ones there, Zach.
Yeah.
It
you
is.
Did.
It's really hard to balance these questions when
know,
you're like doing
so
it on the fly.
I knew all of his.
And maybe that is my fault as the quiz master. I should be preparing these questions in advance, making sure they're the same levels of difficulty. But you know, I think we all had fun with it.
Oh, it's a game.
And before we end the Stump of Star Wars Nerd segment, I just want to share some listener-submitted questions. Some trivia questions.
Ooh.
So these ones aren't for any, you know, points
awesome.
Or anything, but these are some
Ooh,
fun questions.
Also,
listener feedback? What?
Yeah, also, just now, just for future reference, Zach, because I won this month, I'm technically ineligible until we do the Clash of Champions, which is a...
Wait,
which is like from 4 months.
You,
so
are you doing more of these?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, this is going to be an ongoing segment. So I can't participate in any of the ones in December. So you can.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that's to anybody who's interested in participating. I mean, just, but I mean, you can come back and participate. But since I won this month, it wouldn't be fair for me to come back and continue to do it when I've already won.
All right.
Anybody else
so
yeah.
here are our listener submitted questions. First one comes from Jordan. Question. What is Imperial Captain Samuel Lennox's only line of dialogue in the entire original trilogy?
Wow. What was that name one more time?
Who is this?
Samuel.
Samuel, spelled with an X.
An X.
X-A-M-U-E-L. Samuel Lennox. What is Imperial Captain Samuel Lennox's only line of dialogue in the trilogy?
To captain?
And these ones any of you guys can answer. So
you say captain,
though? He's an Imperial captain.
Imperial captain.
Now, does onomatopoeia's, like, choke sounding?
No, it's an actual line.
Wait.
It is an actual sentence with words.
Because you know how these other... Well, he technically said...
All right, hold on.
Is it Lord Vader, the plans are not aboard this ship, yeah... and no transmissions were made. a pod was sent out.
No, I'm afraid it is not. Damn. Do you want to know what it is?
What is it? Okay, well, hang on. Hang on. Zach might want to give it a...
Oh, are we firing by a laser now?
You don't do the budget, Terry. I do. I don't.
It's good. Our first catch of the day.
Oh, it's him! Oh, shit!
The captain of, yeah, that was the captain of the Avenger.
Like, you know how to fish.
We ain't found shit. What's that movie? What was that from?
What?
We ain't found shit.
Spaceballs.
That's Spaceballs. Yeah. It's the black dude with the afro pick.
Yeah, the afro.
We ain't found shit.
What about you guys?
We ain't found shit.
Shit.
All right, next question comes from Josh. It's a really goofy one. It's also not, it's not really related to the movies, but what was the name of the hyperactive alien in the Pepsi commercials advertising episode 1 and collector cans?
What?
I'm really looking forward to saying this word. What was the name of the hyperactive alien in the Pepsi commercials advertising episode 1?
Well, no, that does pertain to Star Wars because it is...
But, I mean, this isn't from a movie, but it's...
Right. All right. I get it.
Just go ahead and everyone give up so we can see.
Yeah, I got no idea.
No.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Marfalump.
Marfalump.
All right, forget Rykooter. Forget, what the fuck is spinach, whatever Blount. His name was. Blount, whatever.
Blount.
Totally off. Anyway, forget all that. That's the funniest thing.
What was it again?
Marfalump. Marfalump. M-A-R-F-A-L-U-M-P. Marfalump.
The name of champions.
Were these commercials before or after his inevitable appearance on Sesame Street? Wait, Marfalump, what's wrong?
Is he related to the Heffalump?
That's an excellent question.
And finally, Gabe has two questions for us.
Okay.
Two questions for us. So first one, what is the name of the first Star Wars Expanded Universe novel?
I don't know.
Not even gonna try.
The answer, Splinter of the Mind's Eye, published in 1978. And he adds a note here. It's terrible. Don't read it.
Yeah.
And I also I did already ask you guys this question off the air, but I do want to share this last question because
this,
I think it's
honestly,
the most entertaining one.
We did talk about these.
I
two
love my clues. I love my clues.
Yeah.
What other movie that was released in 1977 also spawned two sequels? Hint: the sequels were released the same years as the Star Wars sequels, 1980 and 1983.
Sean's hints. The actor in this has a mustache that rivals Tom Selleck.
And my hint was one of these movies was referenced in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
I think those are pretty good.
Yeah, his stash hint was like catnip. We just couldn't fucking figure it out. It was crazy.
Like we
possibly have
the stash always throws him off.
That's the problem. I was calculating out a list of how many actors do I know that have mustaches,
yeah.
Right? And then when he said Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, I had to like mentally replay like every friggin' scene in that movie. I was like, where do they mention a movie?
All right, well, I won't leave the listeners hanging because you guys already know the answer to the question.
Yes, obviously.
The answer is Smokey and the Bandit.
Which is Burt Reynolds' setup for the mustache.
Yeah.
Yes. And Colin, scene in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey do they reference this movie?
It is when they're... Bill and Ted have gone to heaven, and Station, the two aliens that merge into one later on, they're playing charades with all the dead historical figures, and they kept doing this clue, and what was it? It was Albert Einstein was like getting the better guesses, and they were doing it. And he was like Smokey and the Bandit 3, and they were like, yeah, it's close. He's like, Smokey is the Bandit, and they were like, yeah, that's it. That's the scene. All right,
well done.
Look it up if you're not. Look it up if you don't
believe
me.
Seriously, that happened.
Yeah, it happened.
Good lord.
All right, well,
that's why Colin does movies.
All right, so that brings us to the end of Stump a Star Wars Nerd. We will be resuming the competition with all new contestants coming soon.
Actually, yeah, I mean, because tomorrow is technically December 1st,
so
new the next episode we can record.
New month.
We can begin a new month.
New competition, new chance to win a Stump of Star Wars or Boldly Going Nowhere t-shirt. So,
speaking of which, Zach, I mean, if you're interested, I mean, since, you know, you were the last, you're technically the reigning Star Wars nerd from the regular competition.
Okay.
I think we can just have you come back and have you start off as the reigning nerd this month. I think that'll work.
We'll discuss it.
Okay.
I can do something later.
Just
too,
if you want to get in on the competition, send us an email at bgnpodcast@gmail.com. You can also email us with your listener questions. And so, if they are good, we will actually use them in the actual context.
So let me ask you a question, Justin. Out of all the user submitted questions tonight, which would you say is the winner?
Well, since we didn't
Star Destroyer Captain of the ones we heard.
Well,
see, the thing is, part of me would
that one was the most relevant to actual like the movies. It was the only one that actually was a question about the movies.
Yeah.
But the one about Smokey and the Bandit was just so entertaining to me. I really found that interesting
because none of us could get it.
And like, suddenly Burt Reynolds.
And I really
in fact, honestly, I actually wouldn't mind giving the prize to Gabe on this one because that was a good question.
Yeah,
I would say if anything, we can do this.
Like
we can give.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna give it to Gabe because that question that was like a question that really made you think. Because it wasn't so much about Star Wars, but I thought it was a really interesting question. You know,
okay.
So it just is entertaining.
Well, the good news for them is just because they didn't win the main consolation prize, there are actually consolation prizes for them as well.
Yeah, and there are plenty of future opportunities.
Yes. So, Gabriel DeGennaro, you'll be winning a Stump of Star Wars coffee mug. Retail value, $25. But you're getting it for free. No, true story, it is. And then Josh Udermal and Jordan Hazelwood, you'll be winning a Stump of Star Wars nerd poster.
All right.
It's very chic. Very chic.
Very nice.
Very nice.
That was great with the walls.
Yes. All
right. So basically what you're saying is everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. Zach, thank you for joining us today. Until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Benj Price.
Zach. You'll probably never hear from me again.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.